Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Okay, we are back. Thanks again for listening. 888-914-9149. Have you ordered your free copy of my book yet? Have you? It's free. Inquisition is what it's called. It's a book of Catholic quizzes. You don't have to be Catholic to enjoy it. In fact, if you're not Catholic, you might say, wow, I had no idea. But it's free. That's the main thing. Brand new. You haven't read it yet. And it's now in the warehouse. I've seen the boxes. So I know it's not going to be too much longer before you get your free copy. But they will be gone in the not too distant future because they are just flying off the shelves, so to speak. If you want your free copy, go to relevantradio.com/quiz, relevantradio.com/quiz, and click that. If you're using your app, just tap the app. You should see it at the top there in the header section, or slide it to the left or right, and you'll see it. Just tap that. All you have to do is say, here's who I am, and here's where I'd like you to send my book. And that's it. That's all. You don't pay for anything. You don't pay for the book. You don't pay for shipping. You don't pay for handling. 100% free. And I do want to emphasize that this book is available to all of you who are listening in Canada. If you're on the Relevant Radio app in Canada, we can send it to you as well. And if you are in the armed forces, let's say you're listening in wherever you happen to be. Let's say you're in Korea. I've been to that post in Korea, in Seoul. And I can just imagine you're thinking, man, oh man, I'd love to get one of those over here. You can do that too. Armed Forces Service personnel can get this book for free using the APO-FPO mailing system that the U.S. military has in place. So please take advantage of that. Maybe you have a son or daughter overseas. You want to make sure that they can have a free copy of the book. You can do that for them as well. But supplies will not last long. We're not quite at the halfway point yet, but we're not far away from the halfway point being gone of the first print run. And I don't know if there'll be a second print run. There may not be a second print run. So get it while you can get it. Or as Paul McCartney would say, here it is, come and get it. But you better hurry because it may not last. So go to relevantradio.com/quiz. You're saying, well, I thought that was Badfinger that did that song. Yeah, they did. But Paul McCartney wrote the song, FYI. Good old Paul McCartney. I was trying to figure out a way to work him into the pitch for the book.
That question is not in the book.
No, that question is not in the book. But I'm not going to give anything away. There is a Paul McCartney question in the book, though.
How could it be a Patrick Madrid book without there being a Paul McCartney question?
I know. Yeah. Well, so did I mention that it's free, Cyrus? I thought I did.
Yes, it is absolutely 100% free. It's my favorite. I love paying free.
Free is the best.
It's my favorite.
Who was the first American citizen to be canonized a saint? What truly bizarre practice were the Cathari infamous for? They were in the high Middle Ages. They were a heretical group. What truly bizarre practice were they known for? Who coined the phrase, "There but for the grace of God go I"? And all kinds of other questions just like that. You'll find them entertaining and interesting. Some of them are funny. But all of them are of interest, I think. So get your free copy by going to relevantradio.com/quiz.
All right, and you know what? You stumped me twice so far today. So I'm gonna go through this while we're in this last third hour here. I'm gonna find the hardest question I can, and I'm going to ask you, and we'll see if you can answer your own.
You're gonna ask me, the author of the quiz book,
what the answer is. I'm gonna stump Patrick Madrid.
All right,
I'm gonna do it. So, all right.
I'm up for that challenge.
All right. So stand by for that.
Yeah. Start looking. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Kip in Eastern Pennsylvania. Hi, Kip.
Hey, Patrick. I wanted to know if you could comment on the apostolic letter that Pope Francis put out called Desiderio Desideravi. It's the one where he talked about opening communion up to everyone who has heard the word of God. And I know that there's something with the Council of Trent that says if anyone says that it only takes faith in the word of God to receive communion, let them be anathema. I may have that somewhat wrong, but I was hoping that you could dive into this. You may have already covered it, but unfortunately, I can only listen 2 hours and 45 minutes a day, and I may have missed
that
it
all?
In that little 15-minute slot.
Well, the fact that you listen to 2 hours and 15 minutes of it, or 45 minutes of it per day, says an awful lot. Thank you for that. Yeah, this is a topic that is not... I don't think most people have even heard of this document, Desiderio Desideravi. Now, that's the Latin word, the Latin words from what Jesus said at the Last Supper when he says, I have greatly desired to celebrate this Passover with you. That's from Luke chapter 22. So he's citing that there. Because this is I would say, a rather dense in terms of many layers of information and meaning here, maybe the best thing I could do, because I want to give a proper answer to this, would be if you wouldn't mind, Kip, just send this to me in an email. That way I would have time. And I don't want to do something off the cuff. That's not fair. But if you could send
me
an email and maybe formulate the question, that way I can think about it. And then when I read your email on the air, then I could give something a bit more substantive. Does that sound okay?
That's fine, Patrick. Just give me that email address once again, please.
Sure. All you have to do is go to the show page, relevantradio.com/Patrick, and click on Connect. And when you click there, it opens up the email client and it sends it directly to me. So I'll be on the lookout for it. And I think that might be the easiest way to do this, because it's a topic that requires, you know, some preparation and thought going into it.
Well, I really appreciate that you would do that, Patrick, and I'll look forward to hearing your answer when you've had a chance to put together a well-thought-out response. I appreciate everything that you do and everyone that works with you. Keep up the great work.
Thanks, Kip. Hey, if you don't mind me putting you on the spot, did you order your free copy of my new book yet?
I did. Awesome. I'm very excited to receive it. I hear that you deliver them out personally, so I'm looking forward to having you over.
Well, that would be fun. Nancy got a copy personally delivered by me. Yes, Cyrus did too, as a matter of fact.
See, everybody.
That's true.
Everybody.
See, I'd have to be like Santa Claus. I'd be really putting on the miles if I did that. But I can do the next best thing, and that's have the postman deliver it to you. So I'm glad you ordered your copy.
And you need the beard. Yeah,
I would.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
All
no,
right.
Not yet.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thanks, Kip. Good talking to you. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Roxanne in Hampton, Virginia. Good morning, Roxanne.
Good morning. I'm calling at the encouragement of my sister, sister who shared a link to your book. I guess it's your free book,
yeah.
Inquisition.
Yes.
And I thought it was a wonderful book because I am frequently questioning my Catholic faith, and she's a great resource. And I think she's
good.
Finally trying to send me, give me some resources. And
Well, that's nice of her to let you know about it.
Oh, she's a wonderful sister.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
great. I was taken aback by the title of the book. And I was wondering, why would you title it Inquisition? Because what I understand of the Inquisition, mm-hmm. it was a period in history that was actually questioning, I think. I mean, from what I understand, I wouldn't dare speak on something to someone with mm-hmm. much more authority than myself. But from what mm-hmm. I understand of the Inquisition, it was a period where they were the Catholic Church was questioning the authenticity of converts. And if they...
Yeah, I can answer the question, Roxy. I can answer that. First of all, the short answer to the question is because it's a tongue-in-cheek play on words, and primarily because the word quiz is in the name Inquisition, and the book is about quizzes. So that's the first answer. It's a kind of lighthearted. Now, you may say, well, why would you invoke the Inquisition, which was anything but lighthearted, anything but whimsical? Why would you do that? Well, there's another reason. Because the Inquisition itself, which, by the way, is widely, widely, widely misunderstood, and what most people, I don't know if this applies to you, Roxanne, but what most people think they know about the Inquisition is actually historically false, and a great deal of misinformation was propagated, in particular by Great Britain, as part of its psychological warfare against Spain, and this goes back 500-600 years, of course, 500 years certainly to the time of the Protestant Reformation. But as you know, it was at that time that England and France and Spain and Holland and Portugal and other countries in Europe were jockeying for power and land in the New World. So one of the weapons that the Protestants in the British Empire used against their rivals, the Spaniards, was this misinformation campaign portraying not just Spaniards as bloodthirsty and cruel, but Catholics in particular, because Catholics and Spaniards were certainly synonymous in those days. And it was a Catholic monarchy that governed Spain at that time. So the reason I go into this detail is to say that most people don't understand what the Inquisition was, and most people have an outlandishly exaggerated belief that the Inquisition did terrible things that it, generally speaking, did not in fact do. And these were not only propagated by British narratives along this line, but also people like Edgar Allan Poe. He wrote some things about the Inquisition that were very lurid and very garish and further exaggerated the things that actually happened. So with regard to the Inquisition, and keep in mind there were several different Inquisitions. Most people only think of the Inquisition, and by that they typically are thinking of the Spanish Inquisition. But there was a medieval Inquisition that was raised against the Catharists and the Waldensians, for example. Primarily it was the Albigensian, known as the Albigensian Inquisition. But that was one example. There was the Roman Inquisition, which is separate, and that's the one that Galileo got caught up in. And here, too, many people think, did the Catholic Church torture Galileo? No, many of the things that people think happened didn't happen. Doesn't mean that some bad things didn't happen, because some really bad things, certainly by our standards today, did happen. And Pope John Paul II apologized in his purification of memory presentations on that very topic. But the thing to remember is that the Inquisition itself, as a form of questioning people to see if they had the right answer, that actually is found in the Bible itself. It comes directly from Deuteronomy chapter 17. So this is kind of the backstory as to why I raise this, or why I use this title Inquisition for this book. Deuteronomy 17 verses 2 through 7 says, God said, if there is found among you any one of the communities which the Lord your God gives you, a man or a woman who does evil in the sight of the Lord your God, and transgresses his covenant by serving other gods, or by worshiping the sun or the moon, or any of the host of the sky against my command, and if on being informed of it, you find by careful investigation that it is true and an established fact that this abomination has been committed in Israel, you shall bring the man or woman who has done the evil deed out to your city gates and stone him to death. The testimony of two or three witnesses is required for putting a person to death. No one shall be put to death on the testimony of only one witness. The reason this passage is important, Roxanne, is because we see here, excuse me, what actually did happen during these other inquisitions, the Spanish Inquisitions and others, in which innocent people were being falsely accused. Maybe there was a spat between neighbors over boundaries, or maybe there was, you know, unrequited love or some other problem that would cause people to be falsely accused. So the whole purpose of any of these inquisitions was to clear people's reputations who had been falsely accused. The secondary reason was to find people who were pretending to be Catholic. So, say in Spain, for example, there were the conversos. You may have heard of them, who had converted from Islam or from Judaism. And they were outwardly Catholic, and they, in some cases, pretended to be Catholic. And there was no way that the government could tell for sure who was a real Catholic, who wasn't a real Catholic, because the government, they didn't have the theological wherewithal to make those determinations. So the crown asked the Pope, would you please send some priests so that if somebody is accused of being secretly a heretic, you could be openly Jewish, you could be openly Muslim, you could openly, you know, not be Catholic. One of the misconceptions is people nowadays think that the Inquisition was a way to try to force people to become Catholic. It was never that, never that at all. It was if, let's say that you, Roxanne, were denounced by your neighbor as being secretly Jewish or secretly Muslim, and you'd be summoned to the tribunal, and the inquisitor would say to you, do you believe in God? Yes, I do. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as true God and true man? Yes, I do. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross to save you from your sins? Yes, I do. Are you secretly practicing Islam? No, I'm not. And they would put to you a series of questions that were determined to find out if you were really a Catholic or not. And 99 times out of 100, the people who were falsely accused would be exonerated. And they'd go on their merry way and everything would be fine. And it did happen that there were some people who were secretly, although posing outwardly as Catholics, they were secretly practicing other religions. And the reason that was a problem was not so much because the church, the government had a vested interest in knowing whether or not are there people among us, walking among us, living among us, who are actually plotting to help Muslims come back. Because the Iberian Peninsula had been conquered and subjugated by the Moors, the Muslims, for over 700 years. And so after Queen Ferdinand and King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella, after they had finally defeated the last of the Moorish armies in Granada and driven them out and reestablished the Catholic faith in the Iberian Peninsula, there were concerns. Kind of remember back to 9/11, when after the deaths of 3,000 plus people on 9/11, we began quickly to discover that the hijackers were living among us and pretending to be just normal people going grocery shopping and taking flying lessons and things like that. And once we figured it out, we realized that they were here secretly plotting to harm us. And indeed, they did. So in living memory, we have something like that to draw upon. And whether we judge them, you know, favorably or unfavorably, we could at least understand that the government in Spain was deeply concerned that there may be people in the population who were pretending to be Catholic, but really were plotting behind the scenes to help the Muslim invaders come back. That was the essence of the Inquisition. And ultimately, it all pivoted on asking people questions. How well do you know your faith? And as I say, 99 times out of 100, I don't know if that's the exact figure, but the vast preponderance of people who were falsely accused were cleared and sent on their way. And those who were found to be secretly practicing, the typical thing was you would be fined or imprisoned. And then once that was paid, then you'd go back to your life. And if you were caught doing it again, as sometimes happened, that's when the state would say, all right, we're putting you to death. Now, by our standards today, we would say that's not good, but that's the way it happened then. And the church's role in this was to help clear the victims of being falsely accused. And in some cases, of course, to catch people who were doing something that was illegal. But that's the basis of it, kind of historically and theologically. So even though none of that is whimsical, none of that is per se tongue-in-cheek, it is, I think, really important that we Catholics know our faith. Hence, the title Inquisition. I hope that helps. I've never had to explain that before, but I think it's good that you asked the question because it's important that people understand where this is coming from. All right. Thanks, Roxanne. I'm coming right back. And once again, that book is free. It's called Inquisition, Q&A for the Curious Catholic and the Catholic Curious. And your copy is free to you. No shipping, no handling. You don't pay anything. All you have to do is go to relevantradio.com/quiz and request your copy. That's it. All you have to do. and tell your friends and family. I'll be right back. Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code Patrick for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Keeping it relevant. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149.
All right, Super 70s time here on the Patrick Madrid Show, 888-914-9149. Let's go to Joseph in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Good morning, Joseph.
Good morning, Patrick. Thanks for taking my call. I have two things I'd like to ask you about, if I could. The first one is where it says in Peter chapter 4, verse 8, that... love will make up for a multitude of sins, and love, of course, is an action. And I'm wondering if you can maybe just elaborate a little bit on the difference of that interpretation between Catholics and non-Catholics, which obviously includes Protestants. So, in the Catholic context, I wonder, does that even point us a little bit to purgatory? Because, non-Catholics, many believe that, saved always saved, but as Catholics, we believe we need to die in a state of grace. And so is that referring to only venial sins? Because we need to go to confession, but I know there's kind of a spectrum of points within that one question, but if you could talk a little bit about that, I'd appreciate it.
I'll try. You mean 1 Peter. Yeah, 1 Peter chapter 4.
Yeah.
Because, of course, there is a 2 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 4, it says verse 8, above all, hold unfailing your love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins. Now, the word that's used there for love is agape, and I want to check to see how does Saint Jerome translate that into the Vulgate into Latin. I believe it would be caritas, but I want to double check that because that would help me in terms of answering from a theological standpoint. And let's see what it is. And it is, so it's caritas. So agape, the Greek word for love in the original Greek, he translated into habentes quia caritas operit. So that word caritas means more, and this is true for agape as well, but since maybe people are maybe more familiar with the term charity, it means more than just a feeling of love, it certainly does not refer to here like the emotional, the way in which your emotions can be stirred by feelings of love, but this is actual charity. It's the theological virtue of love, without which St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, everything else that you may do, if it doesn't have charity, if it doesn't have love, it's in vain. So this kind of charity takes two primary forms in the case of human beings. The one form at a practical level would be expressing your goodwill and praying for other people, so doing the spiritual works of mercy for people. It also takes the form of physical charity. So that would include, as this passage points to, giving of alms. It ties in with what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, where he said, if you feed the hungry, clothe the naked, give drink to the thirsty. I realize I'm saying these out of order, but you get the idea. These are all the corporal works of mercy. And so giving alms is what's being referred to here by having, and not just giving alms, but doing things for other people is a way of expiating the effects of your sin. So by saying it covers a multitude of sins, one of the layers of meaning here is that your own sins that have been paid for, the price has been paid for by Jesus Christ, by his saving death on the cross. That's not something you and I can do. But the effects of your sin, which require penance, this is why the priest gives you a penance when you go to confession, those things can be remitted. Those things, those effects of your sins can be, you might say, expunged by your doing these good works. So that could include alms, that could include bringing food, taking care of people who need help, helping homeless people, you name it. That seems to be what's covered there. Now, that's kind of a short explanation for something that commentaries have been written about. But does that at least give you what you're looking for there?
It is. And I think of what you've just spoken, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but that as Catholics, that's sort of our understanding. But because we are not saved by works, I'm wondering if that creates... you know, a different interpretation by Protestants of that verse. And if so,
I'm sure
I don't understand how can they not recognize that it's speaking to our actions of love, of charity, as you've just spoken, as relevant to the, I think you used the word expunge, you know, expunging of our sins.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't speak for any different Protestant group, and it's not as though there's like one monolithic Protestant view of this passage or any passage for that matter in the Bible. There are different variations on a theme. But one thing is that this interpretation of 1 Peter chapter 4 in verse 8 would be inconsistent with the Protestant notion, at least the notion that's held by some Protestants, and that is that your works have no bearing whatsoever on your salvation. We've already shown in Romans chapter 2, St. Paul says the opposite about how you will be, that everybody is going to be repaid for their works, and those who are repaid for their good works will be repaid with salvation. So that, of course, has to be understood in context. It doesn't just mean that everybody who does good works will be saved. It doesn't mean that. You can't earn your salvation. That's the heresy of Pelagianism. So properly understood, it's referring there to people who are cooperating with the gift of God's grace and the gift of faith by which they appropriate God's grace and thus salvation, and they work out their faith through, as St. Paul describes it, the obedience of faith, which we call good works. St. James talks about this. He says in James 2, you see then that a man is not justified by faith alone. He's justified by works and not by faith alone. So we're not talking about crass works where you think you can earn your salvation. We're talking about the works that you are now enabled to do in grace that have merit in God's eyes, because since we can't boast about them, recognizing that these are gifts from God that he enables us to participate in. So the Catholic understanding of this passage is what it is, and I recognize that you're likely to either find few Protestants really talking about this passage, or when they do, giving it a different interpretation. But I mean, I wouldn't be able to offer an exhaustive survey of what the different interpretations are.
Well, that's very helpful. Are you able? Can you hear me, Patrick?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hello. Oh, okay. Thank you. And part my question is an application to a set of specific circumstances, and if you that wasn't the second question that I wanted to ask, but I do have a loved one, one of my siblings, who is one of the most charitable, loving people I know, and yet he does not subscribe to all the teachings of the Catholic Church, and in fact, I believe he's living in a state of mortal sin because he is remarried without annulment, the person that he is now civilly married to, as I say, they're just extremely generous, but I worry about their salvation because, there's perhaps no acts that they can do outside of going to confession, really. you know, and God
has,
sure, you know, the final
what
say.
Question but you're asking me.
Well, their acts, I mean, their acts of love are just, you know, relentless. They're constant, you know, helping of other people and giving of themselves, yet they reject, you know, the terms of our, of the church of which they belong. And they continue.
So are you asking me what would the church say would their eternal destiny be if they die in that state?
Well, it certainly is a concern of mine, Patrick. I mean, you know, sure. As anyone who has loved ones in those circumstances, we as Catholics want to do everything we can to help them, you know, have salvation.
Absolutely. Well, the best and easiest way I can answer this, Joseph, would be to just reiterate what the church teaches. The church dogmatically has defined, and it has been restated many times, that there is no salvation outside the church. Extra ecclesiam nulla salus, as it's said in Latin. And the reason I mention that, the Latin formula, is because typically that's how it's known, or that's what people refer to it as when they're discussing this. And it simply means that in order to be saved, you must do what Jesus says, and that is, number one, be baptized, and number two, remember he says that you will not, if you want to be born again by water and the Holy Spirit, you will have life within you. And he sends his apostles out in Matthew chapter 28 to go into the whole world and make disciples of all nations, he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So these and other passages that pertain to this show us that Jesus intends everybody to come into his church, the church he established. He doesn't want anyone left behind, no child left behind. Now, the Catholic Church reiterated this age-old teaching as recently as the 1960s at Vatican II. And in the document Lumen Gentium, the light under the peoples, referring there to Christ, this is the dogmatic constitution of the church. It says in section 14 that explicit faith in Christ is necessary for salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. So there's no Buddha door to heaven. There's no Muhammad door to heaven. There's no Moses door to heaven. There's no other door to heaven, only through Jesus. So the church in this document reiterates this at greater length, of course, and then pivots from the exclusivity of Jesus Christ as our only Savior, then says, and in the same way that this church that he established, the Catholic Church, is thereby of necessity also necessary for salvation. And Jesus wants everybody to be in this church, aka the Catholic Church. And then the money quote in the passage, Joseph, is, therefore, and I'm quoting from memory here, I don't have it in front of me, therefore, whoever knowing this would not enter into or remain in the church could be saved. It's another way of saying that person would go to hell. The point here is knowing. Does the person know? So let's take it back now to these people that you're familiar with, your friends. That's the question. Only they and God would know the answer to that question. Is through no fault of their own, is it the case that they just don't realize that the Catholic Church is the church established by Jesus Christ? And there can be mitigating circumstances that might prevent them from knowing this, and it may not be their own fault, but only God can know that. So the ultimate answer, I think, is this. You and I as Catholics, we have to do the very best job we can in evangelizing our friends and family. Give them a copy of your book when you order your free quiz book. You know, loan it to them. Let them read it. Invite them to Mass. Tell them to listen to relevant radio. Give them a book. You know, talk with them about your Catholic faith. Not that you're not necessarily already doing this, but this is the missionary dimension of the church because everybody needs to know this information. And yet, at the same time, the church says, for those people who through no fault of their own didn't know, God, in his mercy, we trust, will have a way for them to be saved, not in any way outside of the Catholic Church, but in and through the Catholic Church in a way that has not been revealed to us through divine revelation. So we just simply trust in God's mercy in their case and pray for them and do the best we can to evangelize them. I hope that's helpful, Joseph. Thank you. Let's go to Christina now in Albuquerque. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning. Good morning, Patrick. Thanks for taking my call.
Good morning. Sure.
So, Patrick, I just have a, I wanted to get your take on something. I'm not sure whether I am appropriate in my my feelings about this. Well, I went yesterday to pick up my granddaughter from preschool. It's a city-run program, and I got her during nap time. And they had up on the screen the big screen in the room. They have a big giant TV. The image of a meditating. It wasn't like a mannequin type thing, but it was in that Buddha stand, whatever. How they sit crisscrossed and so they had that on that image on the screen, and then it was playing music, and I definitely get the music part, for calming music, relaxing music for nap time. But the image it bothered me, and I don't know if it's if I need to be bothered by it.
What about it bothered you?
Well, it was the precise image of a meditator, of like a yoga, and it had three hot spots. Like you could see inside, like it was transparent, so you could see in the brain and the heart. And I thought I saw three that were like fiery red. I talked to my daughter about it. Just kind of told her that, and she said that has nothing to do with religion, like the Buddha, the Hindu. The music is what they. Is the important thing to help the kids relax.
And if I can interject, I'm wondering, I think I understand everything you're saying. I'm wondering what your question is. Are you asking for advice on what you might do about that or what exactly?
Yeah. I'm compelled to talk to the teacher in the room and ask her if there's other music. I mean, there's beautiful images of Ireland and the coast and all over the world, beautiful images with relaxing music.
I apologize, didn't mean to interrupt you. I guess my reaction is I'm not sure what to say. I mean, if there's nothing inherently religious about this, it's just an abstract image of a human form with red dots to signify the heart or the brain or what have you. I don't see anything inherently problematic about that.
Okay. And in the yoga sit thing where they have their hand, their that's not
like
not
in the lotus
not
in position.
Anything that I
the lotus.
Yeah,
position.
I'm not familiar with that stuff, but I think that's what it's called.
So if you're seated, cross-legged, you know, the legs up over each other, and you've got your hands extended with the thumb and the middle finger touching each other, that's what I'm visualizing as you say that. That would be maybe something to be concerned about, because that's introducing, at least in a visual way, the idea of meditation as it's practiced in Eastern religions, so Hinduism, for example. And if this is something that's being introduced to the kids in a subtle way at a Catholic preschool, I could see why that would be unsettling to you. I was thinking if it was just a mannequin, that might be different. But in this case, sure. I think it's reasonable to ask the teacher, well, why do you have that up there? And I'd rather you not have that up there and see what happens. And at the very least, you know, take your granddaughter aside and explain to her about Jesus more consistently, I guess. Thank you. I'll be right back with more, including a bit more from my book, Inquisition. Cyrus is going to try to stump me. Notre Dame Federal Credit Union is a member of the Catholic Credit Unions of America. You can find more information and your local Catholic Credit Union at relevantradio.com/banking.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Have a question? Give Patrick a call. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid on Relevant Radio.
I thought you were going to do it to me again, Cyrus.
Are you ready?
You're talking about that, right? The new book, the free book?
The new book. I want to stump you.
Yeah, I am. I want to just quickly, before we do that, I want to read a note that came in from Regina a listener, she says, Patrick, would your book help bring adult children back to the faith? Is that possibly a reason for your writing the book? Thanks. Well, honestly, you know, I don't know if I could really say, give your child who's fallen away from the church this book and he's going to come back. I don't think I could safely say that. But who knows how God might use this book in the life of your son or daughter? It's possible, and stranger things have happened. I mean, think about some of the seemingly odd and random circumstances that God will make use of to bring people home. It boggles my mind sometimes. So I would not put it past the Lord to make use of this book if he so wanted to do that, to help your son or daughter come back to the church, maybe by sparking some curiosity, maybe by perhaps a misconception about the faith that they would have corrected by reading my new book called Inquisition. It's entirely possible. And I guess that what I would say, Regina, is what have you got to lose? It's free, after all. All you have to do is go to relevantradio.com/quiz and you can order a free copy, pass it on to your son or daughter. That's certainly something I would try if I knew that one of my sons or daughters was away from the faith. Give it a try. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. And wouldn't it be amazing if down the road your son or daughter said to you, you know what, Mom, it all started when you gave me this book and I didn't have any interest in that stuff anymore, or so I thought. And then I started reading it and I thought it was interesting and one thing led to another. And next thing you know, I'm back in church. Could happen. It's not far-fetched to imagine. Now, you're asking, did I have that thought consciously in mind when I wrote it? Not really. Mainly when I wrote the book Inquisition, my intention was to try to help build people's knowledge of things Catholic. History, scripture, personalities, people involved. Oh, there's so much rich history in the 2,000 years that the Catholic Church has been on planet Earth that there's far too much to cover in a little book like this, but there's a lot here that can reintroduce or reintroduce people into this amazing, fascinating, colorful, rich, deep, saving organization that we call the Catholic Church. Many people who have left the Catholic Church might find their faith reawakened that way. So thanks for asking me that question, Regina. I don't think anybody ever has. So Cyrus, this is the moment of truth.
Yeah, I'm going to get you here. You know, and I just got to say, going through this book, it's funny. You really captured the heart of the show with this book. So if this show was a book, it would be The Inquisition.
That's a compliment. I like that.
Yeah, it's well done.
I like that a lot.
I've laughed out loud a number of times reading these.
I am going to
try to stump you here.
Okay, I'm going to try to be ready.
All right.
How embarrassing would that be if I didn't get my own answer?
And so I'm not going to tell you where it's from because I don't want you to quickly grab your book and look it up. So I'm not even going to tell you what chapter this is from. Totally random question here. Which of the following is not an impediment to a valid celebration of the sacrament of holy matrimony? A.
I remember this one. Let me think.
You do?
So which of the, say it again, what was the
you
question?
You can't answer the question before I give it. I guess you can do whatever you want. It's your show.
Well, no, ask the question again.
Following is not an impediment to a valid celebration of the sacrament of holy matrimony?
Okay.
All right.
And an impediment, it means an obstacle.
An obstacle.
To its. Okay, yep. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so A, neither the bride nor the groom has any intention of ever having any children.
Inconceivable!
The groom intentionally...
By the way, I heard that voice in my head when I wrote that, by the way.
B, the groom intentionally conceals from the bride that he is seriously addicted to meth. C, the bride intentionally conceals from the groom the fact that she has been sterilized. D, the bride despises a member of the groom's family and refuses to let that person attend the wedding. Or E, the bride and groom are closely related by law or blood.
Ah, yes. Well, that sounds complicated, but it's not complicated. You know, I do the show often enough that questions like this come up. So which of those following scenarios is not an obstacle or an impediment to a valid celebration? The answer to that would be D. The bride despises a member of the groom's family and refuses to let that person attend the wedding. The reason
is... Bam! Just like that. That's all there is to it. That's a winner!
well, Yeah, that's the answer. Do you want me to explain a little bit more about that, or is that sufficient?
Do it. Let's hear it.
You want
why?
A little more?
Yeah. Okay. Why?
Okay. So in the other cases, let's look at that. So if neither the bride nor the groom has any intention of ever having any children, and by this we're not talking about people because of old age, maybe, or perhaps. The woman had cancer and thus had a hysterectomy, and then later she gets married. We're not talking about situations like that. We're talking about a man and a woman who can procreate, but they don't want to and they don't plan to. That's an obstacle. And the reason is that marriage is ordered toward procreation. That's the primary end or goal of marriage, is procreation. Secondary to that would be the love and the friendship of the two spouses and everything that goes with that. But if a man and a woman who are capable of procreation go into the marriage and say, nope, not going to do it, that would be an impediment. The second one, we can take the second and the third together. If either the husband or the groom or the bride intentionally conceals something that would have a very serious bearing on whether or not that person would say, yes, I will marry you, knowing that you're addicted to meth, or yes, I will marry you, knowing that you intentionally had yourself sterilized. There are plenty of people who wouldn't do that. That too, or those two would be examples of impediments. And then consanguinity, which is close relationship by law or blood, that too is an impediment to marriage. So you can't marry your first cousin. You can't marry your brother or sister. You can't marry somebody who either because of the blood relationship or the legal relationship, you can't do that. That too would be an impediment. So to give you an example, let's say that you're married and your wife dies. You can't marry your sister-in-law. You can't marry your wife's sister because that is a close relationship by law. And so the church says that an attempt to marry your sister-in-law would be invalid by its very nature. But if the bride doesn't like someone in your family and doesn't want that person at the wedding reception, that is not an impediment. Interesting how that works, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, thank you. I didn't get
you. You're speechless.
Well, I'm upset at myself that I didn't find a hard. I'll find a harder one. I've got homework tonight.
I love it. Well, I'm up for the challenge. I'm going to have to be sure I study my own book very carefully. Hey, speaking of which, we don't have much time left in this show, but you can get my book absolutely free. And by free, I mean free. Zero. You pay zero. You pay zilch. No shipping, no handling. The book is free. Literally, all you have to do is go to relevantradio.com/quiz and just tell us where you want us to send the book. It's that simple. No strings attached. No salesman will call. And you can order this. If you're in Canada, you can order this. If you are in the U.S. military, it doesn't matter where you are in the world. If you run into an issue on that question, be sure to contact us and let us know. But we're making sure that everything is updated that way so that you will be able to order it seamlessly. Just go to relevantradio.com/quiz. And especially those of you military families, you have a husband, a wife, a son or a daughter, brother or sister who's in some far-flung place in the world because of their service in the U.S. military, using the U.S. military APO, FPO addresses, you can mail a free copy of my brand new book, Inquisition, to those loved ones as well. Check it out. Let's go to Teresa now in Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Teresa. They said that you're 8 years old. Is that right?
Yes.
Well, welcome. Nice to have you on the show. What's your question?
How did Adam and Eve start to talk?
How did they start to talk? Do you mean like what language did they speak?
Yeah, and how did they like make up words?
You know, that is such a great question for somebody so young as you. I mean, that's a really deep question. I don't know the answer. Nobody really knows the answer, but we can take a guess at it. And I think that the guess is, do you know how God made Adam? He made him out of the earth, the ground, and he formed Adam's body, and then he breathed into it, and Adam was, when he was created, he was a full-grown man, like your dad. And Eve, his wife, God created as a full-grown woman, like your mom. So they were never babies. They were never younger than people who are able to speak. So I think the answer is that when God created them, he created them with a language and already knowing how to speak to each other. I think that's probably what happened. But we just don't know what that language was. It's so long ago. Isn't that interesting? Well, I hope it's interesting. I guess maybe she's overwhelmed by that answer. Thank you, little Teresa. I appreciate you calling me. I really appreciate that very much. Let's go to, you know what? We're out of time. A man's got his limitations, right, Cyrus? Where have I heard that before?
You have over 60 seconds left. Okay, here you go.
Here's an email. I can do this. Steve just sent me an email. He's listening on the Relevant Radio app. And under the subject, responding to questions, he says, when someone calls in and asks you, may I ask a question? Do you ever have the urge to respond, no, I'm sorry, I'm not answering questions today. Just for fun, I really enjoy listening to your show. That thought has never occurred to me.
Will you stifle yourself?
I must say, I have never thought to respond that way. And I probably never will because I wouldn't want to be rude to anybody. But I do appreciate you listening to the show, Steve. Thanks for writing to me. Keep on keeping on. And Steve, if you haven't ordered your free copy of my book, please do it now. They're flying out of the warehouse. Inquisition, Q&A for the Curious Catholic and the Catholic Curious. Order your absolutely free book by going to relevantradio.com/quiz before they're gone.